Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time to deep dive into some company results now of an entity that is very common to all of us, and typically we're aware of its existence because of how we monitor the market performance through the companies that are listed on the stock exchange. But the bourse itself is a business, and today it's managed to publish its results, giving us some perspective on the growth in headline earnings per share, showing a level of resilience despite the difficult market that we operate in. So, to help us understand these numbers and give us some perspective on the net cash generated by operations, which has risen to just over 502 million rand, a 3% increase that we also see there from the previous year. All of these metrics will be discussed by Leila Fourie, the Group CEO at the JSC. Leila, welcome to Kaya Biz. Such a pleasure to touch base with you again.
Hi, Gugu. It's great to chat to you and the listeners tonight.
Fantastic. As I've been explaining to many of our listeners, gently reminding them that we often start off the show talking about markets and how the markets have performed. And typically, we refer to the JSE All Share Index or the Top 40. But the JSE in itself is a business and has been a very formidable one over the last few years, despite the tough economic and geopolitical conditions we've witnessed. Maybe let's start there just with a gentle reminder of how deep our capital markets are, how resilient the JSE has been as a business, and of course our reach in terms of providing access to investors, to companies to invest in.
Google, indeed, our markets are deep. We've grown over the last 30 years from a market capitalization of all the listed entities, which was at around 800 million rand, believe it or not,
wow.
Less than 800 billion rand, less than a trillion rand, to what is now north of 18 trillion rand business.
Hmm.
We've seen market performance up and down over the cycles, and what we are starting to see at the JSE and within South Africa now is a shift in investor sentiment. So we saw a very, very difficult start to the year, the first 3 months, a very low activity, and slowly starting to pick up as we approach the general elections. And then after the announcement of the Government of National Unity, we saw a real rally both in the rand and in trading value. And we've started to see that now translating into positive sentiment. Many more international investors are wanting to invest in the JSE. That is really starting to buoy the economy,
mm-hmm.
and we're starting to outperform our international emerging market peers,
mm-hmm.
Which is very promising.
Certainly very promising, and obviously there's a lot of technology and work that happens in the background to actually make this possible. And I'm keen for us, as we reflect on your results as a quick overview, to actually talk about the success of your diversification strategy that has actually led to significant growth in your business and of course profitability in the last year.
Gugu, our diversification strategy is really designed to make sure that while we are focusing heavily on growing and building our core business, which is the trading business, that we augment that with new lines of revenue that are not trading related. As you know, markets go up and down and value traded goes up and down, and much of that is outside of our control. What we can control is the provision of new services and new solutions. And so if you look at the business since 2019 on a like-for-like basis, our non-trading income has grown by 88%. It was 316 million rand in the middle of 2019, and it's now 593 million, which is making a very big contribution to our overall revenue. And why that is important is that during a downturn, or when you see less market activity,
mm-hmm.
which means less revenue for the JSE, our non-trading revenue lines can counterbalance that. If you look at the detail, we've seen an increase in our investor services by 29%. We've seen an increase in our commodity trading business of 25%, and co-location or infrastructure that we provide to the market has increased by 17%. And this is notwithstanding the fact that our largest trading market, which is the equity market, was down by 12%. So a remarkable result to culminate in revenue, which grew by 4.2%. Normally, if you see the equity market down by 12%, our revenue would be down by at least double digits, if not 12 or 13%.
And maybe this is an important point for us to also highlight the difficult environment, as you've alluded to, not only in terms of the politics in South Africa and abroad, of course the macroeconomic conditions as well, but how that actually speaks to the operational performance of businesses. And beginning of the year, there's been, I guess, a heightened level of questions, concern, and at times criticism from various corners around the number of delistings that have taken place on the JSE, albeit there have also been new listings that have come on board to the local stock exchange. I'm hoping you can contextualize that for us, just in terms of activity, but more so how it is a reflection of the current business environment in South Africa, where perhaps for some entities, being listed is actually not very favorable for their operations at the moment, or their operations actually failing to perform adequately.
Gugu, you touch on a very important point. In fact, listings is really a function of broader macroeconomic sentiment. And to the extent that there's either uncertainty or low growth, as we've seen on both counts in our country, companies are reluctant to raise capital. That said, there has also been a global trend to rather raising capital on the private market than publicly. That said, we have seen an uptick in the number of listings. Year to date, we've had four listings, two of which are unbundlings. We Buy Cars was an $8 billion market cap listing. Rainbow Chicken was around $3.28 billion in market cap as a listing. And then we had a SPAC and Powerfleet, which is a NASDAQ Internet of Things company. So we have seen a bit of a turnaround. We're cautiously optimistic. It's looking better, but we still have a long way to go before the broader economy really starts growing.
And that's true, because it does actually speak to the reduced level of growth that we do witness in the country. I'm also intrigued, Leila, perhaps to focus on going back to technology, investments and partnerships. Amazon was one that you had highlighted the last time we spoke to during your results. And I'm keen to understand if that has evolved and what future prospects we can anticipate there, not only for the JSE, but leveraging these opportunities across our peers to the continent.
Absolutely. Google, we have collaborated with a number of new companies, and Amazon Web Services is one of those. We are planning to, or in the process of using their AI technology to translate a very old system, which is on the mainframe, to translate that code into Java or new technology. That in completing this project, we will move to the cloud and we'll provide a much more modernized and much more cost-effective technology stack. So it's not only modernizing the solution, but it's also about reducing our costs. In addition to that, we are looking at other collaborative opportunities with AWX in providing a potential cloud-based marketplace infrastructure in a modern, hyperscalable, sort of ultra-resilient type environment. And that will be important for our financial services. And we also offer a number of other solutions where trading companies, our brokers, can co-locate their trading engines next to our trading engine. And that makes it a lot cheaper and also makes it the trade routing a much faster. We are looking at building out a number of other infrastructure services, such as a special hub, which is called a fixed hub, to route messages from one trading company to another. And we're also investigating the possibility of building a network alliance, which would provide network services to route messages outside of the trading engine from one trading firm to another. Mm. So many collaborative engagements, and our revenue is genuinely starting to grow in this space, and we're very excited about the innovative new technology that we're starting to bring to the market.
Sounds to me like the days of T plus one as a settlement cycle might be closer. Am I making assumptions here?
Look, we certainly are always looking to improve and reduce our settlement cycle. There are quite a number of technology projects that we are introducing in the market, one of them being a bond clearing platform, which is called a CCP. It's a central environment in which we can manage settlement risk. Now, we are looking at when it would be feasible to reduce our settlement cycle, and we need to make sure that we work in lockstep with the market, and we can't afford to introduce solutions and systems that bring cost burdens and that also bring complexity to all of our market participants. So certainly direction of travel is to reduce the cycle of settlement so that cash and shares can change hands much quicker. But there are many multinational trades that happen, and those are across time zones. And we need to make sure that we allow enough time to get that money or those shares transferred across to our register or our systems in order to ensure efficient settlement. So it's a lot more complex than just the flick of a switch, but certainly we're very alive to that, and we're looking into the possibility of making those changes.
Mm. Thanks for that, Leila. This is where I get excited because it helps our listeners understand the intricacies and the inner workings of actually how it is that we're able to see these trades take place. Before I let you go, as you've mentioned, there's been a lot that's happened in the last 6 months to a year, but there's still quite a great level of uncertainty for the remainder of the year and financial year. Given the US elections, continued concerns around geopolitics, and of course the macroeconomic environment and how that might even hamper or have an influence on investor sentiment, what can we anticipate, or what are your views on the outlook for the JSE going forward?
Look, Kuku, as you so rightly point out, it is very much a function of what's going on globally. I would say the three key drivers are two of which you mentioned, geopolitics and what happens particularly in the Middle East at the moment. And secondly, of course, the American elections outcome. And then the third one is whether the Fed indeed starts to finally reduce rates. They have been delaying this, and to the extent that they start to reduce rates, we will see that translate into a risk on appetite, and emerging market investors will start to remove their money from safe havens like the US and start to reinvest back into emerging markets. South Africa is well placed. We think the Government of National Unity has created an affirming catalyst to build confidence, and it really has boosted the outlook by investors. And so we think we are well positioned, but there are still many unknowns around these three dynamics that I've just mentioned.
100%. Leila, always a pleasure speaking to you, and all the best going forward with the new solutions and innovations that come through from the JSE.
Happy to chat. Thank you, Gugu.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Likewise. That's Leila Fourie, the Group CEO at the JSE, helping us understand the business and the numbers behind what we so commonly just refer to in terms of an analysis of the markets. It's a significant stock exchange. As we all have witnessed and seen, we are part of an open and global economy, and of course do attract a lot of foreign investment to our stock exchange in the form of institutional investors that do put their money into the JSE. Again, the level of listings and delistings is related and a consequence of South African businesses and how they find the local operating environment. Of course, we do understand their governance controls and regulations that also do influence list companies that look to list or be public. And that's really to make sure that you and I as investors who are trusting the management of these operations with our money, that they do the right thing, that they are held accountable, and that they do follow through with making sure that our capital can be protected. So many moving parts, but of course we keep learning, and these are some of the dynamics that help us understand where it is that our money goes, especially given that for many of us, typically our way of investing on the JSE or how our money makes its way into the JSE is typically through our retirement savings for the long term, clubbed together, invested by institutional investors and asset managers. That's essentially how it is that we are able to actively participate in capital markets in South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.